Radio Influence. The future is now.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
All right, happy 2016 to everybody. It is 6 o'clock drive time here in Edmonton, and we're talking sport performance. I am Jeff Crichel, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, please do so. It's crushperformance.com. Get our blogs, our newsletter, and all the hookups to the world of performance right there on our website. And you can also get to us on Facebook. We have a new Facebook group called The Talent Grid. If you're on Facebook, if you're a parent, coach, or athlete, get in that group. We have amassed some of the world's experts in terms of sports science. We have coaches and athletes from virtually every single sport at every single level. And it's just been an awesome share. I'm not a big Facebook social media guy. I'm actually just learning Facebook. But this Facebook group has been a ton of fun, and we're sharing a lot of information. And the great thing is we're having athletes from around the world ask us questions right on Facebook. So it's actually turning out to be quite cool. A big year coming up here in the world of sports, and certainly in the world of sport performance. And if we look at what's going on in sport today, a big day, of course. We look at the trades in the NHL. We look what's going on in the NFL. We see Alex Anthopoulos, I think, heading over to the Dodgers. And, of course, in Major League Baseball, Connor, it is Hall of Fame Day. And two worthy inductees today. And, man, so close to having the first 100% ballot. I thought it was going to happen.
Why didn't it happen? What three voters were thinking, you know, Griffey doesn't quite deserve to be in there?
I don't know. And, again, the voting procedure for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame for Cooperstown is a little obscure. It's different. And it might be one of the hardest Hall of Fames to get into, I think. That might be our text question of the day. But I think what happens is some of these writers that do the voting, they look at the big picture and they go, okay, look, Griffey is getting in. Though I just think in this instance, why wouldn't you go for that 100% mark? How is it possible that Griffey doesn't deserve everybody's top vote? The question is, you know, some of these guys will save their votes and maybe give it to another guy to move him up or give him momentum going into the next year, because you do gain momentum from year to year. You look what happened with Piazza, who also got voted in today. He went from 69.9% last year up to 83% this year. You need 75% to get in. Now, on average, 1.3 to 1.8 players get in per year. That's based on the last five decades of inductees. So it's tough to get in, but the voting is obscure, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's any definite no-brainers going into the Hall of Fame, but Ken Griffey Jr. getting that close, it almost seems like it's calculated that a few guys did leave, you know, his name off the ballot.
Well, we've seen that in the past for sure, especially when, you know, PEDs have come into question. If you look where Barry Bonds is right now, if you look at Roger Clemens and Mark McGwire, that's been a big question in terms of the voting. When guys have tested positive and they have that under their I guess, asterisk or under their body of work, or guys who have even been suspected of going to the dark side in sports. But interesting, Jeff Bagwell moves up to 71.6% this year. And then there's Tim Raines, 69.8%. Trevor Hoffman's right there. Kurt Schilling didn't move up. Edgar Martinez and Mike Messina not as well down there. But there's 32 great players on the list and two get in. Jeff Bagwell is another interesting story here.
Yeah, definitely. I look at Mike Piazza, and a guy who was drafted in the 62nd round, 1,390th overall. I mean, to go from that low, I heard he was drafted as a favor to his dad by Lasorda, and to have that, you know, kind of career going into the Hall of Fame, Griffey was a no-brainer. I mean, from the start, you could tell he was destined for greatness, but Mike Piazza, what a story.
Well, it is quite a story, and that is what this show is all about, because I'm not into this whole idea of predicting. It's so inaccurate when it comes to looking at, you know, the, I guess, prediction of future performance in sport. We're so inaccurate. It's just off the charts. So I never give up on anybody. If you look at Piazza's story, that's a great example of this exact thing. When he got into the Dodgers organization, they started doing some vision testing on Piazza, and he has close to the human limits of performance in terms of human vision. So, you know, they almost, for that reason alone, knew he was going to become a great hitter. As a conversation we'll have later, we're going to try to get Mike on the show here in the next few weeks. And it's going to be a big one. The text question of the day. Let's do it. I think this is a great question. We have a $25 hospitality gift certificate at the Best Western Jasper Inn in Suites. You can use that at the Inn Grill, which is fantastic. A great menu there. And we also have two Marmot lift passes up for grabs. Jasper in January is right around the corner. So you'll want to get your hands on that. We're going to pick somebody from our text pool today. 10-12-60. Get them in here. Which Hall of Fame do you think is the hardest to get into? And right off the bat, statistically speaking, we have a text already. The LPGA Hall of Fame is more difficult than MLB. And you know, I think the LPGA, and if the listener knows this, I don't know this for sure. This is somebody from BC. If you know the procedure for getting into the LPGA, I think it's based on winning events. I don't think that's as hard, Connor, as getting in based on, you know, 400, 500 baseball writers voting you in. There's just, it's out of your control. At least with the LPGA, if I understand the LPGA correctly, you go out, you win, you get in.
I mean, I'm not too familiar with their voting policy, but you're right. It's no opinion on the player, you know, maybe personal grudges against a person. If you win, you're in, and maybe that's the way it should be. For individual sports.
And I like that. If that's the way it is, I do like it because MLB Hall of Fame is hard to get into. Hey, this year, we're going to be looking at specialization in sport. We're going to take a deep, deep look into HGH. There's a big movement in the professional sporting world to legalize HGH for the purposes of injury prevention and rehabilitation. But where do we draw the line there? And I'm also going to war with sugar this year. And not just because of obesity and diabetes. I am going to knock it out because of what we're doing to our athletes and what sugar does for our athletes and the way the supplement industry talks about sweeteners, uses sweeteners and sugars, talking about energy in sport and how devastating it can be for sport performance. Okay. And on that note, the industry, supplement industry has been a pet peeve of mine for more than a decade, and I'm sick and tired of it. So stay tuned because in 2016, I have full intentions of rocking the entire foundations of the supplement industry to its core. And that's going to be one of my plights this year. So I hope you guys will join me as we continue to look at the root of the show, which is helping you become a top performer. And of course, when we look at talent development and sport performance, who better to talk to than crush favorite, the coach of champions himself, Jim Fannin. Jim, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, Crush, Happy New Year. I hope you're in the zone.
Well, I am in the zone today, and I'll tell you why. I've got a couple big missions in my docket, okay? And I kind of mentioned them right there to the listeners. But, Jim, I'm really, really impressed with the science and the way we're sort of looking at athlete development right now at every single level, the way teams are managing their athletes, you know, in the developmental levels, they're having more patience with development, but maybe even more so, I'm more concerned about the way the minor development models are going, you know, and I got to ask a question to you as, you know, you worked with athletes at all single level, every single level, is developmental sport, minor league sports, heading in the right direction, or is it spiraling out of control if we look at year-round sports and overuse injuries and dropout rates?
It's a stepchild. I mean, they treat it like a stepchild, and they care about the athlete. I'm not so sure they put money into the systems. There's some good coaching, but there's no cohesiveness. It's pretty amazing to me. There's negativity. I'm talking all sports. I know the NBA is coming up with their D League. That's going to be a new initiative for the NBA. I'm not seeing it improve. It hasn't improved, in my opinion. Now, the individual athletes improved.
Yes.
Their training's improved. But the system of working your way up from single A to the pros, I don't think it's changed at all.
Yeah, and I don't. And even at the minor league levels, when we're talking little kids and you know, minor league sports, you know, little league baseball and little league football and minor league hockey and, you know, even soccer now, we're seeing year-round sports. We're seeing an industry built around player development for kids who are 8, 9, 10 years of age. And one thing that's really happening that I think has been a real negative in the world of development is it's locking kids into one sport year-round. And this is going to be, of course, when I talk about me being in the zone, that's one of my mandates is to shed some light and share some knowledge on this topic.
Well, you know, I think having cross-training, multiple sports, it's a good thing. I think it's good to get out of your comfort level. The key to being great, one of the keys, is being able to make decisions under pressure. But how many kids are making decisions under pressure? I mean, right now they're being told what to do, where to go, how to dress. Everything's so, you go out and you say, do you see pickup hockey games on a pond? Not very often. I mean, do you see pickup basketball? Seldom. Do you see sandlot baseball? Never. This is where you made decisions. You got into fights. I'm not necessarily talking about fist fights, although that does
occur. There were a few fist fights, Jim, I'm telling you.
You made, in hockey for sure, but you made a decision. And I'm not sure the system the way it is now, if we're really helping people be world-class decision makers. In fact, for parents in general, if I could give one message to parents, forget sports. This is in everything. When they leave the house and they're never to come back except for Thanksgiving or maybe a month in summer, they're gone to college. Make sure you've trained a world-class decision maker. They're only as good as what they think when you're not there. And when you get to the pros, well, you better be able to make adjustments. You better be able to make them within seconds, not minutes.
And you better be able to handle yourself on and off the field, court, and ice because you're scrutinized 24
sure.
hours a
that's
day,
that's real
right?
decision make. That's life decision. Hey, Crush, I got to say one thing.
Yeah.
I want to talk about sugar. I know this is a pet peeve of yours.
Yeah.
But, boy, it's a pet peeve of mine.
Awesome.
And maybe you've said this on the air. Take some sugar. Test your arm strength before you do this to have somebody pull your arm down. Take a little bit of sugar, put it on your tongue, and then try to hold your arm up. It'll come down.
Amen, brother. Amen. And that's what I'm talking about, right?
Pretty simple, but that's telling you, your body says, what is this? This should not be in my body.
It's a metabolic catastrophe for athletes. And, Jim, I'm on it, man. So you and me, we could take on the world here because we're sitting in a massive pool of misinformation and high-tech ignorance, and it's nobody's fault. But we're all, I guess, victims to, this massive food industry that markets the crap out of everything.
Hey, I was at the French Open coaching a player in the top 50 in the world. He's in the fifth set. He screams at me, go get me a candy bar. And I'm looking at him in horror like, what? And I refused. I'm not going to do it. Go get me a candy bar. I couldn't believe he even said that to me. Someone got him a candy bar. It wasn't me.
Right.
And he played well for about a game, and then his performance dropped like a stone. After the match, he lost. I'm like, what was that all about? And he goes, I don't know. I just felt I needed energy. And I'm like, well, okay, you got it for about 5 minutes. And then, boy, did he hit rock bottom. So, yeah, sugar's poison, but so is the lack of being able to make a decision under pressure.
Yeah.
That's poison.
Well, let's talk about that. For our listeners who are not familiar with our guest today, it's a Crush favorite, Jim Fannin. We try to start our annual campaigns as often as possible when he's available with Jim. Jim, you have been coined the world's number one coach of champions, and for good reason. You've coached more champions in sports, business, and life than anyone on earth for the last 40 years. And if you go to jimfannin.com, you can go to Jim's bio and just look at the who's who. And Jim, accolades to you. I know you don't like us pumping your tires and everything, but we do need to do it because it's unbelievably impressive, and the knowledge you bring to the table and the way you've influenced even the athletes that we work with together. We've sent some of my guys your way, and to see that the transition just from the way they approach their sport and, again, their decision making is amazing. One of the first things we ever talked to you about, Jim, was the concept of the zone. And I think maybe let's start our conversation there as we go through this performance talk today about your impressions of what the zone are and how incredibly available it is for everybody who's listening today.
Well, this is my favorite subject, and I've been a student of the zone since 1974, I discovered five markers that all of us possess, five markers that once they're in place, and they're in place now, but in place at a high level, through neurotransmitters, these five markers trigger natural body chemicals that we possess right now. Self-discipline was first. That produces cortisol. That's having goals and having timeline. and it's having definitely some discipline about your strategy and tactics. Concentration was second, the ability to hold your focus on one thing. That's not easy for a lot of people, for most of us. The third marker was optimism, which is confidence and self-esteem. That produces some glycogen. It also produces some endorphins, relaxation, which troubles most athletes, even the pros. They get a little too stressed out. They try too hard. High relaxation produces serotonin, gives you that calm feeling that nothing can go wrong. And then last is enjoyment, just loving the challenge, even if it's stacked against you. You know, you're down in the last period, you know, two goals. Okay, it's not a problem. It's a challenge. Get motivated. That produces some more endorphins, and that's those five markers, when they're high, at a high level, all these chemicals flow into the bloodstream, adrenaline included. Your eyes double, triple shutter speed, giving you the illusion, it is an illusion, that everything's in slow motion. Now you can look for avenues of escape or avenues of attack, whatever you need to do in your sport or in life. Your stomach shuts down. I found that very interesting when you're in that zone state. It shuts down and all the blood's diverted by constricting the capillaries, blood vessels in the stomach. The blood goes from the stomach to the brain for clarity, and the rest of the blood goes to your large muscles for inordinate quickness, speed, and agility. And then the other thing, there's many other things that happen, but the other thing that really fascinated me was your conscious mind, where you're thinking a lot, it shuts down, and your intuition, your subconscious, takes over. So you actually think less in the zone, not more, and your body just reacts, and it intuitively reacts, and that's where the greatest performance of all time reside. So the zone's not just for superstar athletes. You can do it in business. You can do it reading a book. You can do it making love. You know, there's a lot of ways.
Excellent. Hold on. Time out. Back up now. You're telling me I can be even better at something I'm really good at?
Trust me. You'll be a hero.
That's what I want, man. Hey, we're gonna get it. Actually, let's package this. We're gonna get one of those little ads in the back of the comic books like we used to have. You know, the guy throwing sand on the little guy on the beach. That's great.
Well, the zone's the only place to be.
Yeah.
You know, you can be in it. I've seen somebody in it 33 straight days. It's hard to stay in it all the time. You need some breaks. You need some rest. You need to replenish your energy. But you can be in it every day, and whatever you do in your life, business, sports, whatever.
I love it. We're talking with Jim Fannin, the coach of champions. And you can get more on Jim and his system for getting yourself in the zone for virtually every sport at jimfannin.com. Hey, Jim, we got to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, let's let this conversation flow into the 90-second rule, and then I want to talk about the three levels of confidence, if you're okay with that.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, stick around. More Jim Fannin after this on Crush Performance.
Once you commit yourself to the world of sport performance, it doesn't turn off. It's always coming at you, and you have to be ready to respond. That's sport performance. But how do you put it all together to get the results you need? Now you can learn how as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, a program designed to help athletes navigate the world of sport performance and athlete development to find out what it really takes to achieve human maximum performance. The Sport Matrix. For more information, go to crushperformance.com.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. Jeff Kreshelher, the Connor behind the glass, keeping us on track. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, do so, crushperformance.com. If you want to listen to this show, or you missed a part, or you want to re-listen to our great conversation with Jim Fannin today, go to the website, the podcast will be there. Have to congratulate Dean for qualifying for the trip to Cuba with Nielsen and Fraser. Dean, good luck there. Fantastic trip that will be. Listen for no more opportunities to qualify coming up. And the text question of the day, we have two Marmot Basin lift passes and a $25 hospitality gift certificate from the Jasper Inn and Suites, which you can use at the amazing Inn Grill in Jasper. We'll pick somebody from our text pool. What is the hardest Hall of Fame to get into? Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza getting into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Overwhelming support for MLB as the hardest Hall of Fame to get into. But right off the bat, we had a text saying the LPGA Hall of Fame is more difficult statistically. And I asked if he could write back, and he did. You need 27 points to get into the LPGA Hall of Fame. 1 point for a win and two for a major win. A top 10 is good in golf. So he's right. That is hard. There's no question about it. But then you got to look at all of the subjective stuff that goes on at the Baseball Hall of Fame. You know, if you got a writer that doesn't like you, or the PED suspicion and all that other stuff, it's crazy. Another text that came in: hey, Crush, can you please ask your guests what we can take as an energy booster that doesn't require taking sugar when we're in the middle of a high-intensity workout? Okay, Wayne, that's a conversation for another day, and trust me, my man, we are going to cover that A to Z. If you want to write me a note, I'm going to do a show on that just for you, because it's not about the sugar, it's about the carbohydrates, but it's about getting the right carbohydrates, one for the sport and the activity you're participating in, two, your body type, and then three, where you're at in terms of your overall competitive season. So there's a lot of factors there. Again, that was a lot, a mouthful. We are joined by Crush favorite Jim Fannin, the coach of champions, and the coach of champions for sure. For 40 years, he's coached over 1,000 professional athletes from 10 sports. He's spoke at keynote addresses and seminars all over the world. And back in 1974, he established the SCORE success system. And right after that came the 90-second rule. Jim, thanks for staying on the line as we sat through the break there.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Well, great. You know, we talked about the SCORE system and, of course, you know, those five factors that you identified that can really influence and help a person get into the zone. It's so tangible, but you have to practice that just like any other skill in sport. Don't you agree?
You do. You do. There's no shortcut. It's the basics of how the mind works, and there are some definite basics that you need to do. And the good news is that most things that you will do to improve yourself mentally, they take 90 seconds or less. And it's really not a, you know, in my opinion, there's only one rule in life. There are no rules. That's my rule in life. But the 90-second rule really came from tennis, where the changeover in tennis was only 90 seconds. So when I was coaching, I coached seven people in the top 10 in the world. You're not allowed to coach, but the number one player in the world, his coach, well, he was given signals. So I'm saying, what's up with that? That's not fair. And I go, we can't prove it. So this guy, I'm not going to mention his name, but or the player, but they started taking a lot of money out of my pocket and my player's pocket. So I started coaching. And so what I found was, in less than 90 seconds, by just telling my athlete, pick up the pace, slow down the pace, slow down your breathing, I was like a third base coach giving signals. Within 90 seconds, I could change the entire complexion of every match that my players played if they executed the little simple tools. So we've got a collection of tools for every sport, even for sales, leadership. They all take less than 90 seconds to really make a change.
We're talking with Jim Fannin, the coach of champions, and that is interesting for everybody, you know, this 90-second rule, and I like how it came out of tennis, Jim, but to understand that, you know, in terms of how the thought process works in the human body, you know, like the time clock in football, for example, the play clock, or, you know, as you mentioned in tennis, you can take advantage of all these little windows if you know how to manage yourself, and again, that's a skill within itself.
Well, you know, one tool, I call it the reboot. It's a real simple tool. Your brain is like a computer, and when you got too many programs open, you're zipping between a Word document, an Excel document, you've got everything open on your screen. What do you do when it freezes or gets slow? You reboot it. Well, your brain's the same. So the reboot, in fact, the listeners can try it right now, unless you're driving, don't try it. You know, shut your eyes, unhinge your jaw, and put a dark screen on your brain. Just turn your mind completely off. Now, if time is crucial, you can do this for 5 seconds. But you need to stop thinking. And once you've gone through at least 20, 30 seconds, raise your chin, open your eyes, and send your focus or your energy to your next target. Target on the golf course, down the fairway on a golf course, down the ice, to the next goal. Whatever it may be, send your energy away from you. But you need to reboot. In fact, I probably reboot 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 times every day. I'll just turn my brain off. If something even is possible of being negative, I turn my brain off to it. I don't go there.
Yeah, Jim, you know, we've talked to you about this before, and this is maybe potentially even years ago. And dang it, you know, I've let that slip. I remember actually when I first talked to you about that, and you had some of our athletes with the in Major League Baseball doing this. I started doing it myself. It is all powerful. I don't know why or when I got derailed here, but I haven't been using it. I'm back on track, just so you know. I'm writing it down. It's going to be a mandatory part of my day, because I do remember how incredibly powerful that was when I was frustrated, scatterbrained, or when I got distracted. It was just a great way to get back on task.
Well, you know, this is going to segue into the three levels of confidence. The average person has 2,000 or 3,000 thoughts a day, and when you're having that crazy day, you'll go beyond that. When that happens, your breathing will go from 6 to 8 breaths a minute, which a zone performer has. It'll go past the normal breathing, which is 15 to 17 breaths. You get up into more thoughts, you'll get up into 20 breaths a minute. Right now, you're going to panic, you're going to try too hard, you're going to choke. You're definitely going to choke.
Yeah.
And the three levels of confidence, the first one is belief. Even with belief, I believe I'm good. I'm playing you tonight. We're going to play racquetball, whatever. I believe I can beat you.
Right.
But even with belief, I'm going to have a lot of extra thoughts. And I will tell you, belief by itself, it's not good enough. It won't get it done. The second level will start to get it done. I believe I can beat you tonight, but the second level is I expect to beat you tonight. That's different. Expectancy, you'll have actually less thoughts. Once you expect to do something, there's no need to think about it. I expect it. I'll have less thoughts. I believe I can accomplish this. Now say to yourself, I expect to accomplish this. I believe I can lose weight. I can lose weight. I'm going to lose weight. That's a belief. No, I expect to lose weight. But then the third level of confidence, well, it's the ultimate. I not only believe I'm going to beat you, I not only expect to beat you, I know it. And once you have a level of knowing, you have less thoughts. Your breathing will drop to 6 to 8 breaths a minute. You'll take in more oxygen, get rid of more carbon dioxide, and your body with a sense of knowing. So how do you do that? How do you go from belief to expectancy to knowing? And the simple answer is, Crush, you got to change your inner dialogue. It's the biggest hurdle, obstacle, challenge of every athlete, your inner dialogue. It's amazing. If you stop and really think about what you think about, you'll find, wow, I was a victim right there, a victim of a bad call, a victim of coincidence on the ice. I'm a victim. And then you can get into being a judge. Oh, this guy sucks. He's no good.
Right.
You start comparing yourself with other people. Now you're not a player anymore. Now you'll have too many thoughts. So the victim and the judge, you still may have belief, but you throw in a couple of victim and judge thoughts, you'll never reach expectancy and a sense of knowing. First thing I do with every athlete, I clean up their inner dialogue. In fact, Crush, if you were my client or anybody listening was my client, if you say the word problem, you say the word problem, I hang up on you. I just hang up.
Love it.
Challenge, brother. We have challenges. Get rid of the P word. That's a negative. But a challenge, that brings out the athlete. Now I'm inspired. You challenging me? I'm inspired. I'm motivated. I'm ready to get into a zone state. But a problem, man, I'm going to drop my head. I'm going to think negative. I'm going to go in the past, that's for sure. Just changing your inner dialogue is going to be a way to get you through those three levels to the ultimate level, a sense of knowing.
And that sense of knowing is all powerful, Jim. And that's where the Champions Hangout. We're talking with Jim Fannin, the coach of Champions. You can check out his website, jimfannin.com. You know, getting back to that inner dialogue, I've got a great story for you. So I wound up working, coming out of, you know, all these macho sports, you know, bobsledding, the Olympic sports, hockey, football, you know, baseball, all these great sports. And I moved back to Edmonton here, and I wound up being asked to work with a young figure skater that had some incredible promise. And I'm going, I don't know anything about figure skating, but yeah, let's go for it, man. It'll be a ton of fun. So I got to work with this young lady when she was 14, just turning 15. It turns out she goes on to be a para skater and wins an Olympic gold in Salt Lake City. And after they won the gold, now as part of that big fiasco with the exchanging of votes with the Russian and French judges, that whole big fiasco that she went through.
Right.
Yeah, what an experience that was. But I asked her, you know, along the way about what it was like to dedicate herself to the sport, because I grew up with this young lady and watched her go through, you know, missing the birthday parties. It's a different world for sure. But she also thought differently. Here's what she said. I said, hey, maybe share with our athletes. This is what I was asking them on this very show. Maybe share with our audience some of the sacrifices you give up. And, you know, they looked at me with almost anger in their eyes. And because her partner was here. But she said, she goes, Jeff, listen, I didn't sacrifice anything. She said, I made a commitment. It wasn't a sacrifice. And I think that's just maybe a great example of that inner dialogue you're talking about.
Well, it is. I mean, the sacrifice, really, you become aware of it because your family and friends are aware of your commitment. The first thing I asked Frank Thomas, I coached him his entire career all the way to the Hall of Fame, but I asked him the very first day I met him, I said, what do you want? And only three guys have ever told me this in my of thousands of athletes. So what do you want? He goes, Hall of Fame.
Wow.
I'm like, wow.
With no
really?
Hesitation, just Hall of Fame.
No, there's no hesitation.
Yeah.
Zero.
He knew
and
it.
And I said, it's going to cost you.
Oh.
He said, well, what's your fee? And I started laughing. I said, you're going to be paying me out of change in your front pocket how much money you're going to make. My fee's irrelevant. I said, but you're going to miss your daughter's birthday party. He goes, I don't have any kids. I said, you may have 10 kids by the time you get in the Hall of Fame. You're going to miss your anniversary with your wife. He goes, I don't even have a girlfriend. I said, well, you may have five wives. Hopefully not by the time you get in the Hall of Fame. Hopefully you don't. And so there is a sacrifice. Yeah, it's a commitment. You don't feel it's a sacrifice. But I will tell you, family, friends, people around you, they do see it. And that can hurt people. You need to have a really great supporting cast of people around you.
Right.
And a lot of people don't. I think that keeps a lot of people away. Hey, Crush, if you've got abnormal dreams, you got to think in an abnormal way. You can't think like everybody else.
Amen. And, Jim, you know what? I want to get to a conversation with you. We got to cut off for a quick break here. And if you're okay staying to the end of the show, that would be fantastic. I know
sure.
we're taking your time here. I've got a couple of texts that come in, and one really important, I think, that I'd like to run by you that has nothing to do with our Hall of Fame, but it's about what we're talking about right now. I'd like to talk about your sit-down with billionaires and what you just mentioned. Top performers, they do think differently, right? And maybe we can round that conversation up after the break.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, stick around. More Jim Fannin, the coach of Champions, on Crush Performance right after this. Stick around.
Once you commit yourself to the world of sport performance, it doesn't turn off. It's always coming at you, and you have to be ready to respond. That's sport performance, adapting and rising to everything sport can throw at you. And now you can learn how as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, a program designed to help athletes navigate the world of sport performance and athlete development to find out what it really takes to achieve human maximum performance. The Sport Matrix. For more information, go to crushperformance.com.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
And bring those smart remarks. Get to us, crushperformance.com. We are back with our guest today, Crush favorite, Jim Fannin. Listen, Jim Fannin has coached more champions than any other person on earth. His client list is a who's who, and they've gathered hundreds of titles, awards, and accolades in life, business, and sports. Jim, thanks for hanging on today. Hey, Jim, thanks for hanging on today.
Awesome.
Great stuff. Hey, listen, before the break, we were just talking about, you know, getting in the zone, the mindset, the three levels of confidence. And if anybody has missed the part of the show, go to the website, crushperformance.com. The podcast will be up right away. You can check Jim out at jimfannin.com. And also, we'll be getting to a few texts. But one came in over the break, Jim, just as we were discussing, you know, the three levels of confidence. And, you know, we talked about the 90-second rule and the reboot. And this is what it says. How about when a person is dealing with anxiety and depression? Are these ideologies and processes good to use? There's no question about it, Jim. This is right in the wheelhouse.
Well, depression, anxiety, I mean, I see it many times frequently in my career. You know, the higher level you go, fear will come out. The key is like Luke Donald. Luke went from 187 to number one in the world in golf, and he got into the process. If you have a process, mental, physical, technical routines before the event, routines during the event on how to handle challenges, and then you have an evaluation system that's objective. That's not you know, I suck is not a, that's not an evaluation. You know, it's a judgment. You know,
right.
I was terrible. I was horrible. But an evaluation that's honest, but it's to the point. Those are routines, and the best in the world are not fearful, although fear is a great motivator, no question about it. But they don't get depressed. That's because they have these routines, and routines are repetition. They give you confidence. They give you a sense of knowing, and you can take those routines and pull them up and take them to any arena in Canada, and those arenas can travel with you. That's the good news about routines. So I think routines is really crucial. The other thing to really understand and distinguish, when you're in the zone state, or you're about to get in the zone state, as I mentioned earlier, your stomach, the capillaries, the blood vessels, they constrict. Well, that gives you a feeling of the butterflies. So it's good. When you think of the butterflies, well, they're beautiful. Butterflies are beautiful. It's good for you. But if you think, holy crap, I'm nervous.
Right.
Now you start thinking negatives. Now you choke. Now you get fearful. Now, and then obviously when it manifests itself into what you put out there, well, that's depressing.
Love, you know, the butterflies. You got to love the butterflies. That nervous feeling.
It.
Yeah.
I mean,
embrace it.
I've had every athlete that gets the butterflies. I get a little butterflies before I go on stage. I gave a huge speech in Vancouver at the, what is that, the Gyms Center?
Yep.
Yeah. And there's like 15,000 in the audience, and I peered up behind the curtain. Now, I've given this speech thousands of times, but, you know, 15,000 humans, that's 15,000 humans. And so I had the butterflies, but I embraced it. You know, I smiled, rebooted, and I just needed to remember what I was going to say first, which was easy.
Right, and then you're off to the races. We're talking with Jim Fannin. Yeah, we're talking with Jim Fannin, Coach of Champions. You can get more information on Jim and all of his excellent stuff, jimfannin.com. Jim, we know that you've worked with champions in virtually every single sport, in business as well, and we know you've also had a chance to sit down and talk to these people as people, you know, over lunch and over dinner, and just have a good time. You've sat with billionaires, you've sat with world champions, and they do think differently, don't they?
You know, they really do. The one thing I found, especially about self-made billionaires, I want to make that distinction, someone that, you know, came from rags to riches, how did they do that and how did they think differently? First of all, they became an expert at something. And every world champion is an expert at one, two, or three facets of the game. And a billionaire has multiples, timing in what he's doing, but he's an expert at something. So they were all experts at whatever it may be. It could be real estate. It could be yachts. They were an expert. The second thing that really surprised me, sitting down with a couple of billionaires, this was in the Caribbean, both of them immediately said, oh, I reward myself. I'm like, what does that mean? He said, well, I have my own personal reward system. I said, give me an example. So we see that huge yacht. It was like a ship. It was a monster. It was like 200,
right.
300 feet. I said, yeah. He goes, I bought that for myself after I did this major deal. I said, but you got money. You could have bought it anyway. He said, but I wouldn't have. He goes, I've had a reward system since I was 12 working for change in the streets.
Love it.
And sometimes the reward's a day off. Sometimes the reward is go get a massage. So, you know,
or a yacht with a helicopter on it.
Charity.
Yeah, right, sure. Charity, yeah, definitely.
So they all rewarded themselves. They also thought risk and reward. What's the risk of this thought? What's the risk of this time? And what's my reward? And I think how many of us have wasted time going down a rabbit hole chasing a shiny dime that really wasn't there? We've wasted a lot of time in our lives, and you can accomplish so much. I just read where Zuckerberg made a pledge that he was going to learn Mandarin, and he just gave a 20-minute speech in Mandarin. And I think he learned it in a few months.
Right.
And I thought, that's awesome. And so, you know, you got to really think about what am I doing with my amount of time. We all have the same amount of time to get ready, even during an event and even to evaluate. You better think about what you think about during those periods of time. And you can accomplish a lot. You definitely can if you plan it.
Jim Fannin, I really like that. Think about what you're thinking about. That is just provocative in so many ways. Jim, listen, we only have a couple minutes left, and I'm thinking about how can I steal more time. Unfortunately, Oil Kings are coming up here right after this. We got to go to them live. But listen, I want to thank you so much for the conversation today. We could have you on for a couple hours. I want to thank everybody who's throwing in texts. The Hall of Fame, Jim, our text question of the day is, what is the hardest Hall of Fame to get into? We have people saying now the NHL. We have MLB, the LPGA, a lot of different suggestions here. But regardless of what Hall of Fame you're in, those are representing the top performers in their field, and that's very special.
Well, you know what the secret was for the Hall of Fame? There's a lot of people that are extremely talented that will never get in or did not get in the Hall of Fame. Okay. But the key is hitting a high daily standard over a long period of time. You don't even have to be in a total zone state your career. Just hit that minimum requirement for a solid performance according to you. You hit, and the differential between your best and worst performance, when that's small, you know you're hitting your standard. So just hit that high daily standard every single day, chip away. Hall of Fame is about repetition and reaching high standards over a long period of time.
Jim Fannin, love it, my good friend. So great having you on to kick off our season this year. And listen, all the best to you and everybody in your world over there in Chicago. And we'll look forward to talking to you soon. Much appreciated.
I know you're in the zone, so all the listeners, get in the zone. It's the only place to be. Get in the zone, everybody.
Great stuff. And you can get there with some help from Jim Fannin at jimfannin.com. Jim, thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy. Bye.
All right. Great conversation with Jim Fannin. That will be on our website. So much information in that show. We could have taken 3 hours. Hey, I want to thank everybody who threw in texts on the Hall of Fame. What is the hardest? Is it the NHL? Is it MLB? Is it the LPGA? Who knew? We're going to be picking somebody from our text pool to win a gift certificate from Jasper Inn and Suites, Best Western there, and also 2 Marmot Basin Lift tickets. Coming up, stay tuned. The Oil Kings are coming on with Corey Graham. Later in the show, Millard and the Con Man take you into the evening. Next week, we are talking specialization in sport. It's going to be a fantastic conversation, so I will talk to you same time next week.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We have something for everyone. National sports radio talents like the Fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like Wrestling Soup and the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. News and current event shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger. We've got you covered. You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.